Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven? I must be strong to carry on, 'cause I know I don't belong here in heaven. Oh, would you hold my hand if I saw you in heaven? Could you help me stand if I saw you in heaven? I'll find my way through night and day, 'cause I'm just can't stay here in heaven. Oh Lord, oh Jesus, you promised me I'll be with you. Hey Jesus, would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same, yeah, if I saw you in heaven? I must be strong because I know I don't belong here in heaven. But I know there'll be no more tears in heaven. And I know there'll be no more tears in heaven. La, da, da. Ooh,
you know, I love to see partnerships happening within the community. We're experiencing that this weekend right here at Farrington. So Pastor Sam Kapu with his New Hope Manoa team leading us in worship. We also had the Farrington team here being a part of our services. And our speaker is from another New Hope South Shore. Pastor Richard Y. Ale Ale, I've known him, before we came on staff over 10 years ago. He was the one, remember a message I gave kind of like when we were unfolding these tables at Moanalua High School? Pastor Wayne wanted to start up a brand new Saturday night service. And so our Levites got together, and Pastor Richard was brand new to the team then. And he was still, you know, in the world, and so was I. But as we were unfolding these tables, our fingers would get caught every once in a while. And his words would come out. They were still kind of like in the world. And so I would invite him to our small group, and we got to know each other a lot better. And I've watched his heart turn over the last 10 years, and we're just talking backstage. Who would have thought over 10 years ago that we both now would be on staff as staff pastors? But I've seen his heart turn completely around. He has a heart for the lost. He has a heart for the Lord. I want you to hear his heart this morning. Would you welcome Pastor Richard Y. Ale Ale as he comes up? Richard.
Hello, everyone. I wanted to take this time to thank Pastor Elwin, because anyone who comes to Farrington and speaks on this platform, he is the first one who is the encourager, the supporter, edifier, exhorter. He touches every single person that comes on this platform. I also want to thank Pastor Wayne for giving us this opportunity. When I say us, I mean the campus pastors. This is huge for us, you know. This whole summer, you've seen many of them, Dominic and Dave Barr, a lot of others too. This is really huge for us, and I just thank Pastor Elwin, Pastor Wayne. I'd like to introduce someone who has supported me all my life, you know, and she loves me. She's my best friend. She's my wife, Mary Y. Ale Ale. She's sitting right there. Well, welcome today. Those of you at our campus churches sitting outside under the tent, thank you for sacrificing, because I don't know about you, but it's raining outside. And those of you who are watching by the internet, we love you guys. Thank you for joining us. At New Hope Oahu, I oversee a ministry called Community Care. I also pastor, like Pastor Elwin said, I pastor a brand new church started earlier this year, called New Hope Oahu at South Shore. Now, one of my heart's desires is to minister to those in need, the poor, the needy, the homeless. And I know this to be true because a couple of months before I started New Hope Oahu at South Shore, the Lord began showing me signs. And just to make sure that I'm listening, just to make sure that I understand what he was showing me, he began showing me things, and I want to share that with you. So if you would take out your notes with me, let's begin. It started some time ago. I was in the parking lot, and I had gotten into my truck. And stepping in, I was sitting on the driver's side, and I noticed that I had stepped over a penny. Now, I've stepped over these pennies many times before, but this time it was different. See, the Lord had placed a feeling in my heart. And I've felt these feelings before, and they've never done me wrong. So I got outside of the truck and stepped on the asphalt. In the parking lot, there it was, a penny. Now, as I stood over it, I thought, man, you know, at this age, it takes a lot out of me to bend over and pick something up. So I reached down and picked it up. Got back in my truck. As I sat down, I put it in that middle console there. And I heard the Lord say to me, and what he said to me is your first point in your notes. He said, it's still one. He spoke right to my heart. And it was as clear as I know it was in my imagination. He said, it's still one. Everyone is precious. And I felt that he was pointing out people, especially those that had fallen out from society. So over the next few months, the Lord would begin to sensitize my awareness. And it's not like I was looking for any more pennies. And I didn't realize it at the time, but he was about to take me on a journey of gathering pennies. The next time, my wife and I was headed to Ala Moana Shopping Center. We're going to Long's Drugs. Every time we go to Long's Drugs, she always makes this list of items that we need to pick up. Now, on that particular day, nothing that was on that list was mine. So I said, why don't you go into Long's Drugs, and I'll sit along the wall here next to Sears, you know, with all those old guys. So she went into Long's Drugs, and I went to look for a spot to sit down. The way the sun was shining during that time of day, it cast a shadow along the wall. So I went up, I found the spot, and as I stood right where I was going to sit down, there beneath the shadow along the wall was a penny. And I looked at this penny, and I thought, man, Look at all these people. They're walking by, and if I pick this up, someone's going to see me. They're going to think, man, this guy's hit some hard times. So I thought about it, but I knew I had to do this. So I brushed up against the wall, and I was about to sit down. In one quick, smooth motion, I sat down, reached down, picked up that penny, stuck it in my pocket. And I looked up because I was a little bit embarrassed. And you know what? No one even saw me. No one was even looking. I looked all over the place. No one even paid attention. Everyone just kept on moving on. Another time, I was at home and I was going to do a load of laundry. Now at home, I'm the laundry guy. I do all the clothes. I wash the clothes, dry the clothes. I even iron the clothes. People will tell you that I'll iron anything I can get my hands on. And I use spray starch. So I can turn what looks like silk into something as stiff as a board. Look at my wife's clothes. I mean, what was silk is now stiff as a board. But one day I was going to do a load of laundry, and on the washer was a penny. Hey, keep in mind that I never told my wife that I was going through this gathering of pennies. So I asked her if she noticed this penny on the washing machine. And she said, yeah, you know, when you put the load in the washer, it must have gone through that whole cycle, because I took it out, put it in the dryer. Only then could you hear that penny clanking all over the place inside there. So she had to stop the dryer because I wasn't around, took it out, found it, and took it out and put it on the washing machine. So I picked it up and I looked at it and I thought, man, this penny went through the ringer. So I added it to my small but growing collection of pennies. Another time I was going out for my walk. And in between my apartment and the street is this huge landing area where everybody crosses over to get to the street or to get to the apartment. There's a nice bench that's there that where everybody can sit down. But on that day, as I was leaving, right in the middle was a bright, shiny penny. And anyone could have saw this penny, but no one picked it up. So I picked it up, looked at it, put it in my pocket. I was on my way. 2 miles later, I'm along Kapahulu Avenue in front of Rainbow Drive-In. Now, in front of Rainbow Drive-In, there's this crosswalk. I needed to get across the street from Rainbow Drive-In side to the Ever side, the west side. Now, the crosswalk there's no traffic light, so you sort of cross at your own risk. So as soon as there was an opportune moment, as soon as there was a break in the traffic, if you know anything about Kapahulu and Kapahulu Avenue, the amount of cars going up and down is busy. So you cannot just walk across the street, you gotta run. So there was a break in the traffic, I made it across the street in the crosswalk. When I got to the other side, I thought to myself, hey, I think I stepped over what looked like a penny. But I couldn't tell because it looked like something that was copper. I just kept on going. And then the Lord placed in my heart this feeling. And he said, go pick it up. I turned around and I thought, man, if I go to the middle of the street, everyone's going to see me. I knew I had to do this. So I went to the middle of the crosswalk. I picked it up, stuck it in my pocket, and got out of there. Because I didn't even want to look at it, thinking that someone might be watching. I waited till about a quarter mile down the road, and then I finally pulled it out. And I looked at this object, which was a penny. But it was so badly damaged, it looked like it got run over a couple hundred times. The face on that penny was smashed and battered. It had no value. I bet you if you tried to use it at a store, the cashier wouldn't even take it. It was so badly damaged. But I heard the Lord say to me, it's still one. It's still one. My last penny story happened last year during Christmas. My mother-in-law Maggie, my wife and I, we're going to visit some family in Seattle. So we landed in SeaTac Airport, Seattle, in the evening, about 10:30 at night. And when we got out of the plane, I had to use the restroom. So I made it through the airport, and you could tell how busy that airport was during that day because of all the rubbish all over the place. I mean, looked like no one even cleaned it up since Thanksgiving. But I went to the restroom, same thing, rubbish all over the place. Didn't seem like anyone had cleaned it up for some time. But right there, next to the urinal, next to the rubbish, a penny. And I looked at that guy, that penny, and I, when I was done, I was washing my hand. And as after I was done washing my hand, I got to the paper towel dispenser, and I just about pulled out all the paper towels in that dispenser. I went back to that penny, dropped that whole load on there, and I picked it up, went back to the sink, dropped that penny in the sink, and I just about took out all the soap in that dispenser, and I scrubbed it and washed it and disinfected it of all disease and germs and bacteria. And when I was done, I looked at it, and I said, "Now you're clean," and I put it in my pocket. Hey, just as a side note, let me just, you know this penny in the restroom. Last week, another pastor, he was asking me, "Oh, what are you going to talk about at Farrington?" And I said, "Oh, I'm going to," and I shared with him my message, and I told him about this story about the penny in the restroom. And he said, "That'll make a good story with your message, but after you tell everybody that, don't expect anyone to shake your hand." So it'll go like that. But I'm reminded that from one situation to another, from one personal story to another, how God feels about people and their situations, their circumstances. Jesus told penny stories, the lost coin. Jesus tells a story about a woman who had a necklace of 10 coins around her neck, equivalent to that of an engagement ring in our time. The story goes on to say that she loses one of these coins. It's like losing a diamond on a ring. And I want you to follow with me in Luke 15. I'll read the first verse, and you can come in at verses 9 and 10. It's in your notes. Listen to this. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And then would you join in with me? Ready, go. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The meaning behind the story is not only the value, but what it represents. When Jesus tells this story, he's emphasizing the joy and recovery of what was lost. And that would be your second point. Would you write in there, what was once lost is now found. What was once lost is now found. Now Jesus goes right into the next story, and it's about the prodigal son. And I know you've heard this one before, but let me just summarize it for you. It's about a father who has two boys, the youngest one being the wild of the two, the loose cannon. He demands from his father his portion of the inheritance in advance. So the father gives him his inheritance, and he takes off to a distant, far land. And it's just a matter of time before he spends all that money. He squanders it and loses everything. Now he's at the bottom of the barrel, the bottom of the pit. And he's suffering. So he comes to his senses and he says, "Man, I got to get back home. I got to get back home and apologize to my father. I have sinned against you and against heaven," the Bible says. So he makes up his mind. He goes back home. When he gets closer to his home, he's on the top of the hill, and the father sees him. And check this out. The Bible says the father runs towards him. After all he's done, the father runs toward him. When he gets close to him, he embraces him. He hugs him. He's so excited that the son who was lost is now come home. Now, the older son, He doesn't get any of this, what's going on. He's mad. He is upset. So he starts grumbling with the father. And then the father explains it this way. It's in your notes there in Luke 15:31. Would you read with me what the father says to the oldest son? Ready, go. My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He is lost. He is found. The prodigal son wanders off, stray from home. You know, when the father gave him his inheritance, it's like he said, in your face, I'm out of here. And he takes off. And he loses everything. And there's no reason why the father should allow him back. But he does. And when he sees the son at a distance, he runs toward him. Jesus is telling this story because he wants to show us, and that is in your third point, the heart of the Father. Jesus is showing us the heart of the Father. The lost coin. The prodigal son. Some of you may know it as the lost son. These are just a few of Jesus' penny stories. And here's another Jesus' penny story in the book of Luke 21. Let me read to you this and you can follow along. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. In the ancient times, if you're living in this culture that is male-dominated, if you're a woman who loses her husband and now in this widow status, you're also without resources. You are headed down poverty road. But the story goes on to say that she comes to a place of worship, and all she has are these two small copper coins. What's that worth today? 2 cents. My penny story. After seeing that penny in the parking lot, now it made sense to me why God had me pick it up. In both situations, the woman, that was all she had. It might not seem like it's worth anything to any of us, but to her, it was everything. That was all she had. The precious heart of this woman, the precious heart of anyone that would honor God with this kind of act shows me the precious heart of God towards us. You know, my penny story spoke so dramatically to me. All of you here, every one of you here today, those of you sitting outside under the tent, watching on the internet, you are of incredible value in God's order of things. You may never understand how much God places an incredible value on your life. You know, we live in a society where a human being is so often devalued. And so many times people come to a lost sense of themselves. I am convinced the reason why we overvalue ourselves, our pride, our arrogance, our attitude, is because somewhere in our life or somewhere in their life, they've never felt what their real worth was. So they have to invent something in order to survive. So that's where your pride takes over. Arrogance, rigid, rugged independence. But the love of God says to us, you don't have to prove yourself to me. I've proven myself to you, my love for you, by sending my son, Jesus Christ. Stick out your hand. See what I can do, God says. He reaches every one of you here the same way he reached me with those pennies. There may be people sitting here today like that of a shiny penny. You stand out in the middle. No one even pays attention. Everyone just keeps on walking over, around. Someone may be like a penny in the shadow along the wall because of shame, shadows of loneliness, shadows of depression, shadows of discouragement. No one even cares. Everyone just keeps on walking by. There are people that feel like the penny in the street doesn't even have its value. You can't, because you're all battered and bruised, feeling so worthless. But the Lord is saying to you that there is nothing that may be damaged in you. He will pick you up. You are still one. Remember that penny in the restroom at the airport? Now, I know that I told you that when I went to the men's restroom, that it was right there next to the urinal. And I didn't want to distract from everything that I wanted to tell you today. But it wasn't beside the urinal, it was in. And it was a conscious decision for me to pick it up, because there is a God that will reach anywhere to pick it up. He will reach a human heart, because he never feels there is anything so impure, so unholy, so cast out from mankind, from society, and God himself, that he will not reach. We have a God that is loving, forgiving, compassionate, and merciful. You are still one. Let me finish with this one story, this last story. One day, I was going to go for a walk. And usually when I go, I usually walk, run. So if I say run and I mistake it with run, walk, and it's both. I do both at the same time. But I was going out for a walk, a run, and I was feeling good because everything started to connect, all these penny things. I started to really see something happening here, and I felt like I was listening to God. So I said a prayer to myself. I said, before I went out for this run, I said, Lord, give me an ear like Samuel, that I would hear and obey your word and follow your instructions. You guide my steps. Speak to me, Lord. Your servant is watching. Your servant is listening. And I went. I went off on my walk. After a while, like 3 miles later, I totally forgot that I had prayed this prayer and that I was supposed to be listening for God, because I was so focused on my walk, my run, and where I was going. But I was ending my run, my walk that day, and I was along Kalakaua Avenue. I was winding down and I came to this stoplight, you know, with that hand in front of my face. So I looked across the street, and I was at this point where Ala Moana meets Kalakaua Avenue. And in the crosswalk was this homeless guy who was pushing his shopping cart. And there were these rubbish bags full of recyclables. And it was like over the top. I turned away for just a second, and I heard this big crash. Right in the middle of the street, in the crosswalk, that whole shopping cart went upside down. And I looked, and I turned away, and I was headed in the other direction. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, pick it up. No way. I thought to myself, no way, how can this be? And I looked across the street, and I just thought to myself, for crying out loud. So then, hey, listen, before I crossed, I looked up, and I swear, there wasn't a car on the road. So I got across the street, I made it across, and I started helping this guy pick up his broken bottles and beer cans, and all that stuff was spilling all over me, and I was thinking, man, I know when I get home, I bet someone's going to see me and think I was drinking beer. And he was putting all of that junk in his bag, and I was helping him bundle it up, put it back in his shopping cart. And when we got it all together and put it all in that shopping cart, I got him across the crosswalk. And, you know, there was cars. I knew there was cars lining up over there. And I didn't want to look because it was causing all kind of traffic here. So when we got him to the sidewalk, I just went, go, go. I was telling the cars to go. And he looked at me and he just said, thank you, thank you. And I wanted to get out of this. I said, Actually, I just left. I just left. And I went home, and I was by the pool. I was cooling off. I was stretching out. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and it was as clear as I know it was in my imagination. And he said to me, I just want to see if you're listening. I just want to see if you're listening. People, God is going to show you pennies. You may even feel or be like one of these pennies. He will continue to speak to you, to show you signs, signs that are yet to come. But if you heed them, if you listen to them, if you risk everything on what God is showing you, He will bless you. He will reward you. He will pour out His miracles on you like you can never imagine. You are still one. That's the heart of the Father. Would you bow your heads as we pray? Father in heaven, give us an ear, O Lord. Give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, alive and quick to hear a whisper of your word, like him to answer your call and to obey you first of all. Lord, these are the people that love you. We know that you died for us. We love you and we know you love us. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Amen. Thank you.
Because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
Say thank you to Pastor Richard as well for that message. It's a great reminder. Let's all stand together as we conclude. Great reminders about just how valued you are. You know, sometimes we look for value in so many things in life, and God says, no, I love you just the way that you are. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever give up on him. Hey, by the way, no wonder I can't find any pennies on the ground anymore. You know, Richard's... proves the point that you don't have to be Chinese to be Pake. You just pick up all those pennies. But would you let that message sink into your hearts right now? Let's pray together. Father, thank you again, Lord, for a great reminder of the value that you see in all of us. Help us, Lord, to have your eyes to see others as well, just as you see them. We pray that you just continue to bless Pastor Richard and his ministry and his family, that you would go with him and increase his ministry, Lord, as he's touched upon our hearts today. And now, Father, we want to leave differently than when we came, feeling more valued by you. We know that you are our Father. We want to be your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Would you seal that lesson to your heart with a clap? God bless you. Have a great week with your loved ones, someone as you go.